over in that building. And he said that was 30 some years ago. No, it was actually 41 or 2 or 3, or Joe said 6, it could have been, I don't remember. It's been a long time ago. My wife asked me, said, was that before the earth crust cooled when God made? No, it was after. But when I joined this church, it crossed my mind, did anybody remember that? Does anybody here besides Mike remember that? Do you really? He remembered what I preached about. I didn't. I didn't know what it was. For you, those that you didn't, I don't know that, I sometimes assume everybody knows me, but not, my name is Wes Cantwell. My mom called me Wesley Allen when I was in trouble. And I don't hear that anymore, and I do miss that though. But she's gone now. Debbie does sometimes say Wesley Allen, but not very often. Y'all pray for me. I have to tell this about her, and I just have to. About a year ago, we was building fence. And we make a long story short, we were building the fence, and she was rolling out an electric fence, and she rolled out the wire and laid it on a big rock. And I was coming behind her and was connecting the insulators to the post and putting up the fence. And when I came to that, I leaned over, and I was putting that on about this high off the ground, and this rattlesnake crawled out from under that rock about this long. Well, I did squeal, I did jump back, I did a little dance, you know, and shook all over, and proceeded to take care of that snake, which she didn't help me with, or wasn't going to help me with till I made her. And but anyway, so a year later, we're going back and we're in our side-by-side, and she's, we come to that same place, and the fence is, maybe we didn't fix it that year, I don't remember. But so I get out, I got a hammer in one hand and a pair of pliers in the other, and I'm thinking, this snake's going to crawl out from under there, another one, you know. So I'm hitting this rock, trying to scare it out. And I take these pliers and I hit it with them. And about that time, she pinches me right here. It was a pretty good sized rock. And I'm pretty old, but I still can jump. And I cleared that rock. I've had 3 heart operations, a pacemaker, and a defibrillator put in. And now you know why. Now you know why, by the grace of God, I am able to stand here today. My heart actually stopped beating 4 minutes one time. Yeah, most people don't ever come back from that. But most people don't sleep next to Debbie because she probably elbowed me and started my heart again. That's what I told them. It's a privilege and honor to be here tonight, today, and talk to you. I always feel like the least. I don't know why. I am the least. I'm not. I shouldn't stand before you today. I don't feel worthy to. But I am saved and saved by grace. One of the guys told me today, he says, when I come in here, he said, boy, you clean up good. Joe did. Joe said, you clean up good. And I said, well, Debbie lays out the clothes for me and I put them on. And I do. And I'm going to remove something here because I have been known to do some things before in the past. Back up and knock things down. And I'm going to have to take this coat off, because this earpiece is not staying on. And I'll put this over here. I may have to do it without this. I may have to just get loud and... I want to talk today about things that were supposed to put on and things were to take off. And as I took my coat off, my garment, I want to preach about things that we're going to put on, some things that we're going to remove from our lives. And we all have them. I have removed them from my life, not by me, but by Jesus Christ. And Joe can remember, we've been friends for a long time. I was going to church, and then I'm not proud to admit this, but things happened in my life that was, that happened, and I drifted away from God for a while, and I started doing some things that I shouldn't do. I wasn't going to tell this, but I need to. God told me to. I started drinking and quit going to church. And one night, real late, God told me, he says, "What are you doing? Don't you love me?" And I still love God. I still believed in God. I knew I was saved. I know the day that I got up in Green Forest Baptist Church and I come down the aisle and I gave my heart to Jesus. Did I know everything? No, I did not. Did I learn from that day on? I'm still learning. And I'm still growing. And he's still molding me and shaping me. But in my backyard one night, I come to the conclusion, I got to quit this and I need to start going back to church. And I asked God to help me. And God helped me. And I took everything that I had that I drank, all the beer, all the alcohol, and I took it the next morning and I poured it out. Except when I came to this one bottle of moonshine, and I said, "I ought to keep this." And the Lord said, "No, you asked me to help you. You pour that out too." And that's why that's coming out loose. And so I poured that out also. God's helped me so many times through the years. He's helped our family so many times. I'm just going to lay this down and get loud. Can y'all hear me on the back row? If I can get it to stay. But God's helped my family so many times. I remember when Diane was in the hospital and she had a bleed out, and we prayed, and we were in the waiting room. And we didn't know what to do. They came out and told me and Debbie that they were going to, they had to give her some blood thinner to make her, I can't remember exactly all what it was about, but they had to do something. But it was going to make her brain bleed more, and she's going to bleed out. And if they didn't, she's going to have a blood clot, and she's going to die. Either way, it wasn't good. And they wanted us to make the choice. We didn't know what to do. Her mom and dad had left, and we're there. And I said, "We got to pray about this." And we gathered up together. And it was a couple of girls over there, and they wanted to come. "Can we pray with you?" "Sure." They had someone in there. There's a woman, she came, her husband was in there. "Can we pray with you?" And there was another man there, and they came, and we all got together and we started praying that God would help us. And God healed Diane. Well, I asked myself, why are we here? What has she ever done? Why is this happening to her? And then we knowed why we were there. This woman that came pray with us, I seen her. They came out to talk to her, and she just wilted, and she was crying. And I went to her and I asked her, I said, what's going on? And she says, they told me my husband is brain dead. And I said, let me pray with you again. And Freddie Pike was there and Freddie Blevins was there. They just showed up about this time. Freddie Pike was the missionary or they run the Camp Siloam that I had attended with. And he came and we prayed with her. And his name was Pete Boone. And he got better. Come back a little while later. I said, well, no, he's not brain dead. It's just a couple hours later. He's not brain dead. We went to see him in his room. When they put him out into a room, moved him out of ICU, put him in a room. She asked us to come down and pray with him again. We went down, and I leaned over the man, and I said to him, how are you doing today? And he looks up to me. He didn't know me. First time I seen him. And the first words out of his mouth, do you love the Lord? She almost fainted because he hadn't been able to say nothing. First words out of his mouth was, do you love the Lord? And I said, yes, I do. He was a Baptist preacher. I didn't know that. The two women, two girls that came to us, their daddy was in there. He had MRSA. They cut one of his legs off and was fixing to cut the other. And they said, no. He said, no, I'm not going to let you do that. He was not a Christian man. And they came to my wife and said, well, would you go in and see him and share the gospel with him? And I said, we told her we would. Now she said, one of the girls said, my mother's not going to like this. She ain't going to like this. Debbie talked to her and she told Debbie that, oh, he's okay. He's all right. He knows enough people. He'll be okay. Oh, Debbie come to me and said, well, we got to go see this guy. And she talked to the girls. He said, my mother smokes. She's going to leave. And she did. They came, got us. We went back. Had to put on suits because of the MRSA. Had to wear a mask. And we went back and we talked to him. And I shared the gospel with him. And he couldn't speak. And I asked him, you're not going to be here very long. You know that. He said, yes. Shook his head. Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And a tear come down of his eye. And I held his hand. And I prayed with him. Rick Roper went home to be with Jesus the next day. Or the following day. I made Debbie bring her. I brought her guitars up there one day. And we went back to see Pete Boone. He was getting better. And we wanted to sing to her. She didn't want to do it. And I said, all right. I carried both guitars and her songbook that she sings out of. And she's dragging behind me. And I made her go in there into the room. And we sang. The first song she sang, his wife said, that's his favorite song. Is that a God thing? And he sat there and just started praising God. We started getting requests. We don't ever get requests. Not me. She does. Do what? Sedated. They were sedated. That's probably right. We started getting requests to go down to the next rooms and sing. And we met an elderly lady, Gertie May, right? Yeah. How old was she? 80? Anyway. And she sat there. She had fell and broke her arm, her shoulder, her neck. She had broke several bones in her body. And she could not, but her foot under that sheet was doing this right here. Whole time we sang to her. We went back. My mother, about a month later, was in a wreck. We went back to the same hospital, same floor. And one of the nurses says, you know, there was a revival that happened that week after y'all up there. Now I know why we were there. God wanted us there. That's why Diane had to bleed out. God needed us there, and we were obedient. I didn't know we was that obedient. We just showed up. But we were listening to God's word, and we did what he asked us to do. Rick Roper was saved. Pete Booten went home. We went to his church and sang at his church one Sunday or one Saturday night. God is amazing God. But we have garments that we put on and garments that we need to take off. I want to get up here to my Bible. Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and verses 11. Now, Jesus, he was speaking to the people, and he's speaking in a parable here, and he's speaking of a kingdom in heaven is likened to a certain king which is made, this is verse 2, and I'm getting to where I want to be at in a minute, which was made for a marriage of his son. Now this king was having a son that was fixing to get married. Now verse 11, if y'all stand please, we'll, and I about forgot, we keeping the tradition of this church, and this, I think it's a great tradition. I think we all should stand. I've read where people, when they became in their, when they came to the early churches, they didn't sit down at all. They stood the whole time. Wouldn't that be? I mean, we. Well, I'm guilty as anybody else. I get ready to sit down after a little bit. The song service, even as good as it is, sometimes I think, man, I like to sit down. But if I'm worshiping God, guess what? It doesn't bother me, and I get into that. And I like that, and I like standing and reading. And when the king had came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And he said to the king, Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Bow with me as I pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this I thank you for this opportunity to come here and share the word. And Lord, I pray that open our ears, that people would hear the message that you give me. Lord, I pray that not this for fame or glory, just hide me behind the cross, that I might lift you up. Father, I know there's probably, I know there's someone here that needs to hear this today, because you give this word to me. And it says in your word that it will not go away void. Now prepare the hearts and prepare me. And I ask this in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. There are, lost my place. There are two kinds of garments that the Bible talks about. There's garments that we're to put on and garments that we are to cast off. One garment is man-made and the other one is God-made. Now, to illustrate that, I want us to turn to Genesis, the third chapter. There are garments that are man-made. We need to get rid of them. We need to cast them away. And then the God-made garments, they are clothing of holiness, of beauty, of glory. Those are garments that we need to put on. Third chapter, and you know this story of Adam and Eve, the first couple. But I want us to look at this. I want you to think, what Satan does to us, he makes us, he strips us naked. He strips us of our innocence. He strips us of our blessings. And when you think of this first couple, you remember what happened to them. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But you also remember the man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And thieves came up on him and they beat him and stripped him of his clothing and left him there naked and dying. With his face toward the city of curses and his back to the city of blessings. He was left there to die. It's a picture of us. It's a picture of us. You remember the guardian demonic named Legion? There in that tomb or that graveyard, and he was wailing at night and screaming, and he was cutting himself, and he was gnashing the teeth, and he screamed out, I used to tell this story when I went to took kids to church camp, and they'd ask me to tell it night after night. Of course, I always made it a little exciting, and I would jump up and I would scream out loud, and they'd all squeal, and as all boys, but squeal like little girls. Okay, yeah. But I love doing that. But that's what he was. There he was, naked in that tomb yard. And that's the way we are. We're naked before Christ. We're that way. Let's look at the. And so what do we do? What does man do? What do we do when we're like that? We're stripped naked. We're stripped of our goodness, our innocence, our blessings. What do? Well, of course, we do the best we can. That's us, without exception. We always do the best we can. What did Adam do? The best that he could. Let's read chapter 3, verse 7, like this, I think. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Bright, shiny fig leaves. Isn't that something? What for? To cover themselves with. And the moment that they picked that, what happened? It started dying. Man-made garments. It won't last. It will never last. What we do never lasts. If anything at all, it makes things worse. Why? Because we try to do it in our own righteousness. We try to make it in our own way. Not in His way. Let's look at this. Next verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? They hid themselves. Isn't that odd? Why would they hide themselves? Let's read on. So they hid themselves from the presence of the God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Wait a minute. He's not naked. He just made himself a garment, an apron, the Bible says, to put on. An apron to put on. So why is he hiding himself? Because he knows, and most of the time we know, all the time we know when we try to do things in our own selves, it will not last. It never lasts. Hypothetical question requires no answer. And I've asked this of my family. What would have happened if Adam had said, "I'm sorry"? What would have happened? Think about it. I don't know. God forgive them, and they would have lived on in Eden forever. He's a forgiving God. But we don't know the answer to that, because Adam didn't say that. He didn't say, "I'm sorry." He said, "She did it. She's the one that gave me the fruit, the one that you gave me." We're like that. We're like that. That's garments that we're to cast away. He didn't gird himself with the, as in Hebrews in the 6th chapter, with the belt or the of truth. What did he do? He lied about it. So they had garments that they needed to cast away. Now let's go to 21st verse in the same chapter. And let's see what God does. Let's look and see what God does. "And unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Isn't that something that God always provides? You know, for years I thought they had a sacrifice and he killed a lamb and he used the skin to cover them with. And maybe he did. It doesn't say that. So where did he get the skin? Well, if my God can make the heavens and earth, and he puts the stars in the skies, and he can make all the animals and stuff, he can make a coat of skins. But, it doesn't say. But I assumed that for a long time. But it doesn't say that. I can't find it. If you can, let me know where it's at. But God always provides their proper clothing. Now there are clothing that we need to put on. And this is a type of Christ who became for us righteousness. This putting on these coats of these skins of coats or coats of skin, excuse me. That's the first sinner might be made fit in the presence of God. That they might be made fit in the presence of God. Isaiah 64:6 says, "Our righteousness are as filthy rags. They are dirty in themselves. But God kind of righteousness in the blood, the Christ kind of righteousness, that are garments that God gives the believer. They hide our sins. They cover our iniquities. They clothe us in beauty and in holiness, that we might someday stand before the Almighty King." Now, garments that we are to throw away. And there's several in the Bible, but I want to just... And Adam, do you think Adam put that new garment on over those old aprons that they had made out of fig leaves? No. They cast them away. Do you think, you remember when, and I love this story. I love the story of Elijah and Elijah in the second chapter of the book of Kings. And you just remember that when Elijah was taken away. Elijah had asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. And as he was taken away, the Bible says that his mantle, his garment, fell down beside Elijah. And he picks it up and he rents or he tears his garment off and puts on that garment. Elijah's garment. And what does he do? He walks over to the river Jordan. And he smote the water with the garment, and the waters part, and he walks across on dry ground. It's telling us that now he is that holy prophet of God. And the Bible says that they came and they prayed with him. He is the holy man of God. You remember also blind Bartimaeus? When Jesus called to him, the Bible says that he pulled off his beggar's cloak and went to Jesus. That was in his way. He stripped it off and he went to Jesus. That's what we should do. If we've got things that are in our way from going to Jesus, we need to cast them away. Cast them to the side. The prodigal son. You remember that? Gone, blew his father's money, feeding pigs and eating with the pigs. Can you imagine what he smelled like? What he looked like? How dirty he was? And when his father seen him coming, what did he do? He went and got him a new garment. Do you think he put that new garment over his old clothes? No. That's the way we are to do. That's what we're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things are made new. The old things are gone away. We put on a new garment when we accept Jesus Christ. Now then, I want you to read, go to with me to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, and I have that somewhere. Well, I've seen him do this several times, so I knew there had to be one there. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open the prisons to them that are bound. That's a picture of us. We're that way. We are we're captive. We're in prison and we're bound up, and Satan does that to us. To proclaim the accepted, verse 2, to proclaim the accepted year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, look at this, to give unto them beauty for ashes. That's what we're going to trade. We're going to trade beauty or ashes for beauty. We're not going to trade. Well, some of us are ugly and will always be ugly, like me. The oil of joy for mourning. He's going to give us that. And he's going to give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's going to give us a garment of praise. Isn't that glorious? That's what he's going to do for us. You remember Joseph when he was in the dungeons and the Pharaoh asked him to come out and wanted to talk to him? Did he go like he was? No, the Bible says that he put on a new garment to go see Pharaoh. He didn't wear the old dirty dungeon clothes that he had on, his prison clothes. He put on a new garment to go see him. That's the way we are when Christ saves us. He gives us new clothing, a new raiment. Jehoiakim, the king of Israel, was swept away by Babylon. And they took him and imprisoned him. And the Babylonian king had mercy upon him. And the Bible says he put on a new garment. A new garment. What's that garment like? Let's go to Zechariah, the third chapter, second verse. And the Lord said, now this is Joshua, the priest. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? And he's talking about Joshua here. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he said and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment, a new garment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. And they set upon him a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with new garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by him. We are to put on a new garment. You see that? He couldn't stand before God with the old on. He had to put on a new garment. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're to all things are come new. The old things are passed away. We're on to put on this new garment. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Can I do that? Can I put that new garment on myself? No. There's some things we need to remember. This new garment is like. You remember when the queen of Sheba went to Solomon's temple? And she'd heard all these things about it and she wanted to see it herself. And when she went there and when she walked through, it says the half was not told to her. It was far better than she could imagine. And the things that it says in there, and it says it twice, that her servants and the people that worked in the temple had fine apparel on. And it glorified the king. It glorified the king. Ephesians 6:10 says, we're put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it. We're going to put the whole armor of God. Loins girded with truth, not with fig leaves. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Mike, this room? Yes. How long have you been a Christian? What, close to 100 years maybe? Working on 100 anyway, right? When you accepted Jesus Christ, And he gave you that new garment. Has it ever wore out? No. It hasn't wore out. And it never will. It is good today as it was the first day that he gave it to you. You remember the children of Israel when they were going through the desert? It says that their shoes never wore out. And their clothing did not decay. Never. They wore the same clothing for 40 years. My wife buys a new dress every... No, that's not true. I let it look out. Dinner's after a while. But these boots I have on, they're going to wear out. This suit that I wore today, it will wear out. But the garment that we give, that God gives us, will never, ever, ever wear out. It will never wear out. What is it going to look like? I don't know, but the Bible gives us a little bit of hint when we stand before God. Look in Revelation, the third chapter. And my book does have Revelation in it. Right here it is. Third chapter. And, well, the first verse says, "And unto the angel, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis, these things he said." And then I'm going to skip over to verse 4. And this is the angel of the Lord talking. And he says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which has not been defiled. Their garments, and they shall walk..." Where? "With me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." You must have on the garment of the believer. Revelation 19, verse 6. "And I heard as there were a voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has been made ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Do you? And I don't have time to go through this, and I didn't do enough studying to know about it. But when the priest went into the temple, they had garments that they had to put on. They took the old garment off and put the new, pretty, holy garments on. They had fine linen that they had to wear. They washed their clothes. Their old garments weren't good enough. And neither is ours. I'm going to ask song leader and pianist to come as I read this last verse. "And he said unto them, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." I ask you today, do you have on a wedding garment? Are you ready to go see Jesus? There's only one way. You have to have on a garment of the believer. Do you believe? As we stand and sing what...